Wandering Journo and Stories That Matter Studios. I'm Nance Haxton, and this is The Streets of Your Town. The podcast that takes you on an audio journey highlighting a different slice of Australian life each episode. Buckle up to meet a great array of ordinary, everyday, incredible Australians. This podcast is brought to you by DM Podcasts, part of Diamantina Media, with more than 25 million downloads for a range of shows such as The Batuta Advocate and Chat 10 Looks 3. It's a giant grass that many Australians would be familiar with seeing, but not so familiar with eating. When properly prepared, bamboo is nutrient-rich and is in fact a staple of many Asian countries' diets. Becky Dart is taking on the mantle of her father, Durnford Dart, who established one of the first bamboo farms in Australia in the 1990s. More than 240 species of bamboo still thrive on his property at Belly Park in the Sunshine Coast hinterland. Driving in to meet Becky through a cathedral of thick bamboo more than 10 metres high, I want to know how you prepare a food that by all appearances seems inedible and transform it into a delicacy that is highly prized by foodies and restaurateurs around the country.
And then it'll go...
And what are we cooking here?
This is cumin seeds.
Oh, lovely. I can smell it.
It's gorgeous, hey? And then we've got mustard seeds. So the mustard seeds are what you can hear popping right now.
Yes. Oh, I can too. Gorgeous.
It smells like popcorn, mustard seed popcorn.
It does.
And then we've got a little bit of smoked black pepper. And this comes from the guys at Deadly Espresso.
Yes, because you're very careful with getting it from other organic suppliers. Hey?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And just making sure we're staying local as well above everything else. And they've smoked it over red gum and tea tree. So that's their black pepper. Beautiful. That they've smoked over red gum and tea tree. So.
And a gorgeous looking little mix in here bubbling away as well.
Yeah, that's the bamboo chili chutney with pretty much everything in it except for the herbs and seeds. Which is about to go in. So we've got about 3 more seconds left.
And multitasking even with the bottles over there.
Yeah, so all the jars we get in, the first thing we'll do is run them through boiling water. Yep. So we're sanitizing that way.
Sanitizing.
Yeah. And there are some people that recommend that you don't need to, but we just like to do it.
To be sure.
Yeah, so we do that and then we get the chutney, we reduce the chutney, and I'm just about to drop these mustard seeds in.
So what an exciting time to be here.
Yeah, that's it. Ready? And we're going to load it into the pot.
Oh, yes.
And you can see all those gases coming out of those mustard seeds there.
Bit of magic.
Just going to blend in.
And the bamboo goes in there, Beck?
Yeah. So the bamboo's already in. So we start off with, we caramelise the onions and the chilli and the ginger.
Gorgeous.
And that brings out all the flavours of those and makes a nice little mess. And tacky. It's gorgeous. And then after that, we add in the apple cider vinegar, the honey, the brine, and the ginger juice, the turmeric juice, and then all the herbs and spices. And then last of all, we put the bamboo in.
So it's really just a bottle of goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. Creating that gorgeousness, and then the bamboo just goes and sucks it all up into its goodness. So you get all the flavour inside the fibre. So when you're eating it, you're getting the fibre for your gut health, and then you're getting the flavour for your taste buds. So it's one of those win-wins. And then all the vitamins and minerals of all of the products and the bamboo itself in terms of vitamins and minerals. I think it's about 25 to 30 different minerals in there, or vitamins and minerals, so yeah.
Oh, it's very hands-on, Beck. It's hard work, this process.
Oh, man, that's a 40-litre pot right there.
Yeah.
This is my second time in the kitchen this week.
Tell you
but
what.
I want to show you this beautiful thing that we've got recently.
Yeah. Oh, a special little mixer.
Yes.
So well, that'll make your life a bit easier.
So after about 3 times, I lost 2 pots that were worth about $400 each.
Oh, really?
And a whole day in the kitchen because I burnt the bottom of them.
Yes.
So what we've gone and done is we've commissioned a metal worker to make this stirring thing. So it's just like a great big... essentially an ore that goes into
Brilliant.
The pot. And then we put that
Keeps
in.
It moving.
Keeps it moving, scrapes it up. If you're a bit sensitive to sound, it's not the best sounding. But here we go.
It's good for people to know the hard work that goes into making this bamboo.
This is going to save my wrists from carpal tunnel syndrome in 5 years' time. It's also given the product this beautiful blend and flavour, so you can now use it as a chutney or relish, but also as a dip. So if you
and
want something...
And you've got teas as well.
Yes, we've got teas. Yes. Amazing.
How's that going? Because that's one of your newer ones.
Yeah, absolutely. So the teas are going really well, but we're also toying around with the stand-up pouches, but I'm just trying to find something that's biodegradable and everything, because we just want to stay completely recyclable, all plastic free either way. So we'll look into that with the pack people this week.
Never stops being a bamboo entrepreneur.
No, there's no rule book, so you've got nothing much to refer to.
You're listening to Wandering Jen on Nance Hexton, and this is Streets of Your Town.
Tell us where we are. We are in the middle of, it's almost like a cathedral of bamboo, really, just surrounded by these enormous grass, essentially, isn't it, bamboo?
Yeah, absolutely. So bamboo is the world's largest grass, which is absolutely fascinating. So if you think about it from a time when we used to have megafauna and all that jazz, it's one of the remaining large species that we have on the planet. It's also one of the oldest plants in the world. So yeah, it's got very ancient DNA.
Oh, I did not know that. And not only that, I think a lot of Australians still are getting the hang of that you can actually eat it.
Yes, absolutely. So first point, you won't break your teeth. Second point, you won't turn into a panda. And third point, it is highly nutritious. So it's actually been revered as the gift of the gods in many Asian countries. And it's also revered as a delicacy. So it's actually like a beautiful product. The fact that we don't know much about it in Australia is understandable because we only have 4 native species. It's a beautiful product to eat, loaded with fiber. You've got a plethora of vitamins and minerals ranging from panthonic acid all the way through to riboflavin, silica, we have manganese, and then we also have potassium for heart health as well. And then you've got bioactive compounds, you've got phytosterols, you name it, it's pretty much in bamboo, except for fat. That's the only thing it doesn't have, so it's also really good for dieting.
Right? Yeah. But very good. It also takes a fair bit of prep to get to that point, though, I think, doesn't it, as you've discovered?
Yeah, there is. there's one species of bamboo that you actually don't have to cook, which is Nastus elatus. I think it's known as Papua New Guinea gold bamboo, and that one there you don't have to cook, but okay. It is quite a small shoot. So essentially when it comes out of the ground, it looks like a rhino horn. Not all of it's edible. The one third in the center of it is the edible bit that you want to get. So once you've got that out, then you've got to go ahead and chop it finely and then boil it as well. So once you've got to the end of that process, it's a little bit arduous, but it's definitely worth it.
And we've also just spent a bit of time in your kitchen. So then that part is where it all begins as well, with all the pickling and
preparation. Yeah, the chutney making and everything. Yeah, so we
tease
the whole lot. So pretty much get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. We'll go and do our fresh harvests. That afternoon, we'll distribute our fresh shoots pretty much all around Australia, except for WA and Tasmania. And then after that, we will make the pickles the next day. So we get all the bamboo, make the pickles, and then the day after that, then we do the chutney. So it's just this rolling, chutney pickle making, which is lovely, and it just all fits in perfectly. And the really good thing is that the bamboo shoots that the chef wants are generally the opposite species of the ones that are best for pickling. So we've been able to ascertain which ones are the best ones for pickling, which ones are the best ones for chutneys, which ones are the best one for teas, and being able to make that both from the flavour point of view, but then also marrying up with that, how do we make it logistically effective as well?
Because it's only a very short period of time you can actually harvest a lot of these as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So you've got about 3 months, or 2 months per species, but then about 3 to 4 months ongoing for the entire range of that species. So we have the running species, which go in, this is just approximated, making sure we're getting rain, September, October, November, and then we have a break during December, and then the clumping species generally start up in late January, February, March. So we've got about 6 weeks there where we can normally just get the vehicles maintained, get myself maintained
bit of recovery time.
Yeah. But this year, this hasn't happened. We have had the beautiful La Nina. We had the drought followed by La Nina. So all of it has been condensed into what has been the most intense 6 months of harvesting that I've yet experienced. So we literally just harvested the last shoot about 4 days ago. And I'm going for a day spa.
As you should. So how did you get into this, Vicky?
So my dad started this farm when I was about 4 years old, and I did plant a few of them with my mates that used to come up from school. Yeah, absolutely. And the ones where I've actually got the least part of the land now is actually the ones where I did the planting. So I've got a photo of me planting these plants when I was like, 4 or 5, and now they're like 20 meters tall and gonna live for like another 200 years. And I'm like, yeah,
incredible.
Okay. and then I never really got into it, and once I started getting to environmentalism, I was against it, I can say, because it wasn't a native in my mind. It's, you know, that we needed to look after only the natives, etc. But then I was finishing off a science degree at the University of Queensland, a Bachelor of Science. My father's asked me to come and work for him selling the bamboo products, so I thought I'd better research a little bit before I go out and talk about it, and also make sure that I'm happy to promote this product. And what I found was the exact opposite of what I was expecting. So in terms of versus cotton, the water consumption that you need is like negligible. So that really started causing a little bit of interest. And then also on top of that, the environmental health benefits, the fact that it's carbon sequestering, so it sequests 150% more carbon from the atmosphere. It can help soil erosion. So if you've got an area that's been badly eroded, the bamboo's got a simple root system, so it can help bring life back to the soil. It drops leaves twice a year. So what that means is if you've got an area that's been desertified, you've got the leaves dropping, then when it rains next, the water can be held in the soil. If you inoculate that, or somehow the good earth bacteria come back to the land, then all of a sudden you've got the bacteria with the leaf cover that's holding the moisture, and then you've got the root systems that are breaking it up, breaking the earth up, so the bacteria can get in there and proliferate. So all of a sudden you've gone from having a desert scenario, normally caused by broad-scale clearing and clovefoot animals, and then you can go in, regenerate that land with the bamboo. It grows super fast, as most people are aware. And then it'll be bringing down the carbon while regenerating the soil. And then on top of that, it also, the leaves can be used as a form of cattle fodder, as backup during drought, which is fantastic. Then you've got the fact that you can make biochar from it, which is would be of high interest to grain feeders of cattle. Yeah, and it just keeps going and going. And one of my favourite things that I always say is that cats and cane toads can't climb bamboo. So we've got two species that are really messing up our wildlife in Australia, and that's cats and cane toads, and I dare say wild dogs as well. But the bamboo, because of the shape of the bamboo, cats can't get in and around it and climb it. And because it's got those hollows that are already in it, normally with a hardwood tree, for that to become habitat, it needs to live for about 100 years and then die and then hollow out, and then it becomes habitat. But with the bamboo, within the first 3 years, you've got sustainable habitat. It's not a silver bullet. We still obviously need our native trees, and we've made sure we've kept them here. But as a short
gap. Yeah, there is a bit of a mix looking around.
Yeah,
here,
absolutely. So what we'll find a lot of the time is that the little marsupials will go up and grab the eucalyptus leaves, things like little feather tail gliders.
Okay.
They'll nibble a little hole in a bamboo that's starting to wear down, and then they'll go and grab all the eucalyptus leaves and shove it into the hole, and then that's their little hollow. Ooh. So we've come across a lot of extinct nests, and also ones that have still got little animals in them. We used to chop the bamboo and then burn, but now we chop and we let it sit for at least 24 hours. So if there are any animals in there, then they can vacate. A lot of the time we just leave it to just decompose and just stay as carbon. If we do have to burn, then we will start at one end of the bamboo and make it run up, so the animals have still got time to get out if there are any left in there after the poles have been dropped.
So this is a pivotal time for you, and also can I say congratulations for being a finalist in a national award recently.
Yes.
Part of the reason we've come up to that.
Yeah, so we were a finalist in the innovation category, to top three finalists in innovation for the Weekly Times Coles Farmer of the Year Award 2021, which was absolutely amazing.
And so, did you get to go, or was it a bit hard with COVID and all the rest of it?
Well, everything was set to go, and I think it was about a week or two out, they've pulled the pin because we had had the COVID, went mental in Melbourne again. And yeah, so we were due to fly down and go to a presentation at the MCG and have a networking night and an awards night, which would have been lovely.
lovely, but we had to go back to the good old Zoomy Zoom.
I still got dressed
pretty good
up.
With Zoom. Yeah. You, so
it was great. It prompted me to buy a light ring, which I think is fantastic. So now I'm like, oh, cool. This is actually opening up some other avenues. So yes. That was really good. So watch this space for some more videos as I slowly make my way into the video piece land.
That's right.
Yeah. Great. And we've also just sent down recently a product we've won with Delicious Magazine. They have an award program for the producers every year, and we have just taken out 2019 and 2020. We took out gold at state, so we're super happy about that, and that was in From the Earth category. So very happy with
that. Well done, yeah. Because it is very innovative what you're doing, Becky. There's not many like you really sort of forging this very food-oriented path with bamboo.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was actually talking to one of my mates recently, one of my friends recently, and he said to me, you know, it's really good that you're winning all these awards, because when you first started doing this, we thought you'd actually gone mad. And I'm like, really good. I'm glad that you're telling me this now and not when I first started, because I might have found that a little bit hurtful. But yeah, so it dawned on me today, actually, just how different everything is. And I think it's just come from this really creative space and just no limits, you know what I mean? Mm. Just go for it and just trust in what you're doing and trust your gut instinct. And, you know, we're paying the benefit of that. And if ever I push too hard for something to happen, it just falls over. So I just learn now to just be like the bamboo and just go with the flow. If the wind comes, just bend. Some days are for growth and then other days are for putting your roots down. And yeah, the bamboo has become my mentor and my muse in a lot of ways. And honor the void is the big thing. Like, I've always wondered why bamboo has this hollow bit, and I couldn't understand why. And then I realized that the reason it's getting so high so quickly is because it does have this hollow space within it. And I think as humans as well, we sometimes have this thing to want to try and fill this void within us, and the fear of missing out and always wanting more. And it occurred to me that the bamboo could not be as strong as it is, it could not be as flexible or resilient or as tall as it is if it was solid. So it's all about honoring the void and the space and being okay with that empty space. So that was a really big epiphany for me a few years ago. So yeah, it's been my mentor. I love it.
Becky. Standing here underneath the bamboo just adds to that. And if other people want to see this, you've actually opened it up to tourism.
Yes, we have. Yeah, so it's strictly by appointment only. Yep. So Monday to Friday, this is a working farm for Bamboo Australia, which is my father's farm. So, and what I do is very different. We do a more relaxed sort of walk around, gentle stroll. We'll have little nibblies and go off the beaten path. So if you're after bamboo plants, floorboards, mulch or poles, then go see Durnford at Bamboo Australia Monday to Friday. If you're after a nice gentle tour, then come and see me. We will be strictly by appointments only. And yeah, we just had our first group back last weekend with two groups of 25 from a local Probus group, which was absolutely amazing. And it was a really nice, good reintroduction after everything we've been through with COVID.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So first time for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was great. You know, it was really good to have people, to reconnect with people, and just you see people's body language change once they get here, and they actually just start to in zen.
Because this is huge. How big is this property?
100 acres.
Wow.
So yeah.
It'd be lovely to just look around and see. How many different varieties did you say there are here?
1,250 worldwide. Goodness. And we have 250 of those in Australia. So we've got 20%, including a whole lot of genetic stock of stuff that plants that have come from areas that are currently threatened due to logging bamboo or like clearing bamboo rainforests overseas at the moment. So we think in the future there'll probably be a calling for those plants to be propagated and regenning.
You've got a little haven for them here.
Yeah, right up near the front.
So what's your dream for it now?
Long-term dream. Oh, so many. Okay, so Big Heart Bamboo absolutely taking off in both the export markets and going nationwide in Australia. Getting my own commercial kitchen on the property will be amazing.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and there's plenty. And also a wildlife sanctuary, this type of thing. I would love to have workshops happening here. There's so much that I see the potential for, and I see so many budding green entrepreneurs that need space where they can do it, and the bamboo holds space so well. So it'll take a bit of work. That's probably more of a 10-year plan, but yeah, I definitely see it already.
Yep. All the best with that beautiful dream.
Thank you.
And wonderful to speak to an entrepreneur today for Streets of Your Town, and all the best with bamboo.
Thank you, Naz.
That was entrepreneur and Big Heart Bamboo founder Becky Dart speaking to me from her bamboo farm in the Sunshine Coast hinterland for this episode of Streets of Your Town. Streets of Your Town is produced by Nance Haxton, aka The Wandering Journo, with production assistance from Michael Adams. That's it for this episode. I'm Nance Haxton. If you'd like to meet more everyday, incredible Australians, subscribe and listen to the back catalogue of Streets of Your Town, including Series 2, The Journo Project, on Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you hear, please review and rate Streets of Your Town on your podcast provider, share the show with your mates, or join my Wandering Journo tribe of supporters at the Streets of Your Town website, soyt.substack.com.